Last week we talked about the weightier matters, the heavier things, the more difficult, the more challenging aspects of Christianity, of godly living. And that gets to the point that there are things that are greater and there are things that are lesser. There are things that are more, very important. They're all important. But as we talked last week, we touched on this passage in Hebrews 6. That's starting out there, therefore leaving the principles or the beginnings of the doctrine of Christ. So the Hebrew writer there starts out saying we want to move on from the foundations. And I like how one commentator stated, we build foundations for what reason? To build something on it. We have a foundation, the purpose, there is a purpose in it. It's not just the remedial, it's not just frivolous, it's to build on. And so, I think, and it, to me intentionally, I've spent a lot of time talking about which to me are heavier matters, weightier matters, things that change our life, and it changes our perspective of how we deal with people, with adversity. It changes. It might have even changed our perception of how we perceive God. And I've spent time on those. Those are very, very important, I feel like. But I wanted to take a step back and talk about foundations. And I personally, I've kind of been looking for a segue because my mind thinks at least logically. And I think where I'm going to go with this is talk about, first of all, the foundations that we have here in Hebrews 6. But also some of the fundamental doctrines that we talk about, that we believe and teach, and go through some of those. And not on a weekly basis, but as we have somewhat of a pattern, a monthly basis anyways. So, foundations. Therefore, leaving... Oh, and I have to mention this. Last week I didn't have animation because I forgot to put it in there. This week I don't have animation because I put it in there and it didn't work. I just had blank screens. So now we have, at least we have something to look at. So as we look at this book of Hebrews, it's important or good to realize that it's Hebrews, it's Jews. This letter is very Jewish in nature. It's very much directed at a Jewish audience. And the logic and the reasoning is very Jewish. And that's just what it is. And so it's written that in terms a Jew would understand. A Jew could recognize and perceive and understand these analogies that this book makes. And we won't go into those, but I do want to look at some terms here, first of all. So in the King James Version, they didn't help us out much. At the end of chapter 5 there, and it says there that you have need of someone teach you again the first principles. That is the commitments, commencement or arrangement of things. That first there is the same that is translated the principles in verse 6, verse 1 of chapter 6. The King James did not translate them identical. The idea is the beginning. It's the foundation. It's where you started. At least in the perspective of their conversion to Jesus, this is what their foundation, the primary and first steps that they would have made were here. And that is what the writer here is beginning to address. Here in verse 1 of chapter 6, in the elementary teachings is a way of talking about it. Elementary doctrines, the basics, right? The foundations. That's what these are. And he wants them to, the idea is to remind them. Now, in this case, in Hebrews 5 and 6 here, he's got a chastising tone, certainly in verse 12. But the idea is Paul and Peter both go back and remind people. In the article, if you grab a bulletin today, one of the articles is reminding us today, as we look at Paul's writings and we talk about baptism in the book of Romans all the way through, Paul is reminding them of their baptism, that they've been cleansed. He said, don't forget where you came from. And so there's continual reminder in the scriptures of these things. Peter does the same thing in his book. James did it in his book. He took all of just a couple of words in James 1:27 about them being purified in that passage there. So remembering and reminding these things is something that was habit of the apostles. And certainly we realize in life we can forget where we come from. And so as we look at this, let's keep those things in mind. These are the foundational, and we build foundations, we set foundations to build on, and we do that. So what are these foundational doctrines? What are they? So as we read earlier in chapter 6, verse 1, let us go on to completion, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. As I've laid them out here, I put laying on of hands, I just labeled Holy Spirit, because to me that's what's being discussed. And then the idea of eternal nature of our resurrection. We are resurrected from the dead, and there's an eternal nature. These are foundational. Believe it or not, some of these in our minds today might not be very foundational. Right, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit to us is not as foundational as, or not as obvious as it might have been to them. But it's there. And so we're going to talk about these, and not all today. We're just going to take the first two today. Foundational doctrines. And so what are we dealing with? We talk about repentance from dead works. Remember, this is a Jew. So they're not heathens. They're not worshiping in an idolatrous temple somewhere. They're relatively moral people, but they still are still needed to and did repent from dead works. Well, what is a dead work? And there's much question about that. Paul didn't really identify what the dead work was, but in Hebrews 9, the writer here, and the writer is believed to be Paul. This is not absolute, but I might say that from time to time. But here, in Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15, let's look at that passage there. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And he's the mediator of the New Testament. And then in verse 28, verse 28, the last verse of the chapter. So he was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the idea is that we're redeemed from a life of sin. We're redeemed from the consequences of our sin. We're redeemed from our former life. In the Corinthian letter, specifically to Gentiles, it says there, but such were some of you. Now, I don't believe you would find many Jews who behaved like the Gentiles did. In 1 Corinthians 6, there's a powerful list of sins there. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, I should get in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians will not read right. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of himself of mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, reviders, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice verse 11 starts out, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, they were redeemed. So these Corinthians listed these sins, some sensual in nature, some are just about being thieves and covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They were some of these things. They have been redeemed from these dead works. They've changed, they've converted. And so that principle is involved there when we talk about dead works. And certainly, as we talk about being redeemed or repentance from dead works, the other dead work that comes to mind is that of the Jews' works in the law of Moses. We certainly can't leave that behind because the law of Moses was big to them and it was hard for them to give it up. And could very well be the main purpose of this statement of dead works. So certainly unrighteousness applies, but in the law of Moses, what was righteous, still yet it was done away with, right? And that's the whole book of Galatians is about that, the majority of the book. The book was written to address that problem. The works of the law. No man can be justified by the works of the law. It's a schoolmaster to bring them forward. And you can look at those passages if you like on your own. I don't necessarily have a need to look at them today. But by the works of the law can no man be justified, Paul says here in Galatians. No man. So they have been redeemed from that. Redeemed from the curse of the law is even mentioned, right? In addition to being redeemed from the law of Moses, they are adopted children. Another great message. They're children of God now. They're not aliens. They're not foreigners. They're children. now of God, brought into a fellowship with God. And so there's that idea that repentance from dead works, they turned from the law of Moses into God, into Christ, into the gospel, the redemption. They turned to become children. All those are foundations, and they're all blessings in God as we look. And we each would have done the same thing in our life. In some way, we turned away from dead works. The Jew was not labeled, like we might today, a heathen. They were fairly moral people, but they still had to repent. They still had to follow Jesus, and there were still things in their life they had to change. They weren't perfect, and nobody's perfect. So we've all been redeemed from dead works and redeemed from the consequences of our sin. And certainly for the Jew, redemption from the law of Moses being pulled out of that was certainly part of it, I believe. It may be the main point Paul's trying to make here. Then he talks about being faith in God. Such a powerful statement, but if we put ourselves in the place of the Jew, what would the Jew have thought about when he said the foundation of having faith in God? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is Jews placed faith in their father Abraham. Now, that was why John the Baptizer responds to them as they show up, and John is baptizing, and they're in Matthew chapter 3. It's John preempting their thoughts in Matthew chapter 3 and 7 through 9. When John saw, Matthew 3, starting at verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, O generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet of repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham our father. They trusted in their lineage. They trusted that they were children of Abraham, and that guaranteed them, is the way they looked at it, that guaranteed them a spot on the table. We're Abraham's children. And John says, you know, God can bring up children of Abraham from these stones. Don't boast in yourself, right? And the blind man, we've studied that a few times personally, recently, or in the recent year anyways. They said, well, we're disciples of Moses. Jesus, we don't know where he's from, but we are disciples of Moses. They follow the law of Moses, right? So they put their faith in their lineage. They put their faith in Abraham and Moses and the law he received from God. And then their religion, their religious practices in themselves, their self-righteousness. There's lots of ways we could describe the Jew and put where they had their confidence. They need to have faith in God. And faith in God would have led them to have faith in Jesus. And would have had them to change and convert from their religion, from their self-righteousness, from their reliance on lineage, to having faith in the true God. And certainly, if we think about the Gentiles, who the letter wasn't written to, but we think of foundations, they placed their faith in idols and superstitions. We even have superstitions today, right? Don't step on a crack, break your mama's back. We always did that when I was a kid. You always skipped across the cracks, unless you was just kind of obstinate and annoying, and you like to pester people, and you step on every crack you saw, right? But the Jews, the Gentiles, and even the Jews were a little bit superstitious. There's in Acts we find some of that. But regardless, faith is in God. Faith is God. It's faith that originates with God, not in a man, not in an idol, not in a superstition, not even in a religious organization or religious creed. Our faith is in God and His Word. That's a foundation. We don't follow men. We follow God. Jesus was God and demonstrated He was God. His disciples and apostles proved that they were messengers of God. We don't follow men. We have faith in God. And there's so many times when I talk to people and the subject of evangelism comes up, one thing that comes up immediately when you stop certain religious sects, we'll call them that of the day, or different religious denominations, some of them don't start with our Bible. They have their own books. And so we have to realize that foundation, where do we start? Faith in God is where they started and where we need to start. Placing our faith in God and placing our faith in His Son who has that authority, and then in His apostles who had that authority and proved they were of God because of the miraculous works. So as they spoke, as they wrote, their inspired word was revealed and to prove, first of all, they were from God. And therefore, their message warranted that we heed that message. And so that faith is required, that we all start on that foundation. It's futile and frivolous to sit and try and use the Bible to teach, let's say, someone who believes in Buddha or a Mormon. You can't start here. Our foundation, faith in God. And do we have that? That's such an important foundation for us. Place our faith in God, not in our religion, not even in our church or pastor or whatever term we might use, of a man. It's in God and in His revealed word in that. So remember your foundation. The Hebrew writer does use strong language, but the reality is I didn't find it in John. I'm sure it's there in John, but when you look at the Paul and Peter and James's writings, they remind their audience, they remind the Christians, don't forget where you came from. You've been cleansed. It's common practice to most churches. We can turn and find those passages where they did that. They reminded them what foundations they were built upon. The foundation of repentance from dead works. Our old self we've left behind. We may not, even today, we may not realize how much of our old self we need to get rid of. That's part of the growing process though, right? In Hebrews 6, verse 1, it says, let us go on to perfection. So we've got a foundation laid, but we're not perfected yet. How do we do that? Work, right? We build on this foundation, but leaving behind the old and looking forward to the new is an important aspect of that. Placing our faith in God. Placing our faith in our Savior and the words that they spoke. Critical to our foundation, that our foundation be built upon that. And let it guide us forward, that we build on it and it guides us forward. That is what a foundation that we need in our lives as Christians. Remember our foundation. Common practice. Remind in the writings that they went back and reminded them of their foundation. And the conclusion is we are redeemed. Just like the Hebrew writer talked about, we have been redeemed. He didn't really use the word redemption, but he talked about leaving behind those dead works. And so we should rejoice. But such were some of you. No matter what evil might have been in our life, no matter what we've done, that's been put behind. What a great rejoicing. We have people who today are suffering consequences for their actions, incarcerated in different ways, in jails and stuff, right? How much would they love to be redeemed from their sin, from their action? What if I could, that drunk driver that killed somebody, what if I could go back and undo that? And he can't restore that life, but he can be redeemed as far as the gospel's concerned. Jesus can redeem him and buy him back from the punishment, at least in the spiritual world. He can be redeemed of that. Now, as is common, we don't necessarily get redemption from our punishment our government instills in us, but God can redeem us, which is most important. Because that's where we spend eternity. That drunk driver might spend some years in jail, but he still has a hope of eternity. If he can be redeemed, if he will seek God, he can be redeemed of that. So we can rejoice in that. There's rejoicing there. And let those things go. We don't look back and we don't just dwell on those, but neither do we ignore that they happened and pretend that they didn't exist. And we got to remember, we don't want to go back there. Our foundation's been laid. Let's don't tear it up, right? Our foundation is set. Let us build on that foundation. So, repentance from dead works, faith in God, foundational principles. And I asked Dennis to sing a couple of songs, and he picked one too that fit even as good or better than the other ones. In song number 227, we sung, Stand Up for Jesus. That's about having faith in Jesus. One of those aspects we have here is having faith in God, right? That we have faith in God. Stand up for Jesus, soldiers of the cross. The trumpet call obey, the mighty conflict in His glorious day that you are now, that you are men, now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Your courage rise with danger and strength to oppose. That song talks about that faith that we should have in Jesus. And again, we sung also about our Redeemer. Rejoicing really in our Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. I know He lives. He's alive today. That's part of that faith and that repentance. That we've been redeemed from those dead works. And that's a glorious hope that we have. And it may be hopefully an encouragement to us all. Have you put away? Have you repented of dead works? Note that the Jew that may very well have been accomplished in their works of the law that they tried to follow, but it was more than that. It's putting away the world. And it can take us a long time to convert, as it were, to change. But have you begun that walk? Have you took that step to put away those dead works? Or the apostles taught Jesus' words. We have faith in those. We have faith in God and Jesus' words. He said, all you've got to do is be baptized. Your sins will be washed away. And that's just the start. And that's one of the next doctrines that we'll talk about. But that was the first step that they showed, is based on their faith in God and their desire to turn away from dead works, they were baptized throughout the book of Acts, over and over again, and throughout the New Testament epistles. The writers remind them, you've been baptized. You've been cleansed. Don't forget that. Don't go back to the wallow like the pig does. Stay clean. And so that's all Jesus calls us to do to start out with. And then we carry it on, continue to work unto perfection or unto completeness, as Hebrews 6 says there. And then if you have begun and you forgot your foundation, you've messed up or there's something another way, maybe we can help. We always want you to make that right. And we give you a time this morning to let us know that as well. So would you like to build further on your foundation, or do you need to repair your foundation, as we've used that analogy today? We encourage you to let us know, and you're welcome to do that as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.